AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Happy holidays to everyone watching. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got you covered, covering all of the fantasy football semifinal playoff action. In addition, we've got a game tonight. We've got a promo code to give you to get signed up on Thrive Fantasy, help you make some money tonight. We'll give you five props that you can use on the app tonight. But great to be with you, Davis, once again. Hope you had a great Christmas holiday yesterday. I was here on Sports Grid hosting for a few hours, called to the bullpen. And, on the air watching that horrendous game between the Rams yesterday and the Denver Broncos. But, we did get a really good first game between Miami and Green Bay. I guess that was what got the holiday going yesterday for me.
You know what? Actually, I got to say I enjoyed Rams-Broncos more because I enjoy watching a good train wreck. I enjoy watching Russell Wilson get sacked, his linemen not even pick him up. I don't know if you caught this, Craig. He got sacked three times on the last drive he was in, and the last time he got sacked, his lineman didn't pick him up, and the referee had to help him up off the ground because his linemen were just so disgusted with how he has been playing. And also, I mean, longtime listeners and viewers of Fantasy Sports Today know I've got a soft spot for Baker Mayfield, so it was kind of cool to me to see him rip up that Broncos defense. Clearly the worst game of the day. Football, basketball, there were some good basketball games, but the worst game of the day was Buccaneers-Cardinals, where it was just two teams who simply could not move the ball. I mean, that was overtime in that game, coal in the stocking.
Yeah, I think at this point I may want to walk back my statement about the Bucs. Hey, maybe they could win a few games in the playoffs. I don't know, man. They looked terrible at Arizona yesterday, and the Cardinals almost won that game. I mean, to think that they could have possibly won. Good place to start here as Tom Brady gets an overtime win. I'm not sure how he must be feeling about this right now as they march toward the end of the season. I think the Bucs will still probably make the playoffs, but they just do not look good at all. Packers stay alive in their playoff chase with a comeback win over the Miami Dolphins. We'll dive into that one quite a bit today here on the show. How about the Philadelphia 76ers? They win their eighth straight game on Christmas Day. James Harden, amidst talks, maybe he would go back to Houston. I saw that tweet yesterday. What was that about? Joel Embiid, they end up beating the Knicks. And boy, the Carlos Correa saga is now at its like seventh day here at this point. He did not pass a physical with the New York Mets, but the owner of the Mets said it didn't matter. So now they're trying to, I guess, work through this to see if they can figure out whether or not they're going to sign Correa or not. I guess it's a little ominous, Davis, that we're sitting here. I mean, I'm willing to give the 25th of December a pass because of Christmas, but by the end of the day today, like, if we don't hear anything on this, I'm going to start thinking Correa may not even sign with the Mets. I mean, I don't even know what to make of this story at this point.
I mean, honestly, like, it does feel very, very bizarre, and I think probably, like, yeah, the thing is the same reason why the Giants didn't want to sign him as an organization that doesn't have unlimited money. The physical turns something up that might not be an issue this year, might not be an issue next year, but is going to mean that Carlos Correa's peak is going to come to an end sooner and that his post-peak is going to be Miguel Cabrera, Albert Pujols, you know, these guys who, once it goes, like, you know, some guys in baseball, Yuliesky Gurriel, right, 38 years old, gets on base, like, can still play good defense. He's still probably going to play until he's 40, but some of these guys, they just entirely lose it. And, You know, the other thing is the position that Correa plays at defensively is a much more, I mean, like, it's just more physically demanding than being a first base or a corner outfielder or a DH. So you want to have different, you know, stringencies in terms of how you treat a physical for that guy. So it just sounds like he's got some condition in his lower body that's going to mean that you're going to want to start DHing him by the time he's, what, I don't know, 32, 33. So that is a huge value loss on his contract. But this is, and again, I don't have inside information or anything. This is my guess. My guess is to Steve Cohen, it's just money. He'll make more of it. Sign Carlos Correa. Maybe he's the worst contract in baseball in 5 years, but what does it matter if you get a championship?
Yeah, well, that's their goal, obviously, to do that. But I think that's basically it. We just haven't seen the length of baseball contracts like this before with Trey Turner and Bogarts and Judge and Correa, 10-year deals. It's like you have to plan for the future. And I think the Giants, by the way, not a great offseason for them for sure, and they didn't get Correa, but a little bit off the hook, I think, after that physical. Boy, their fans were just crushing that organization, but it looks like they were right. It's legitimately something wrong. Two doctors from two different teams saying that. Okay, so the highlight yesterday, you mentioned in the NFL, my highlight was Cam Akers, who carries me now, it looks like, to a fantasy football championship. Did not see this coming 2 months ago. Didn't even play him, Davis, in fantasy for about 6 weeks straight. Thought he was going to get cut. So that was one big storyline yesterday. And then the other storyline yesterday is Green Bay staying alive in this thing. But really, let's be honest here, the Dolphins probably had that game won two times, three times, four times. If they just like literally hang on to the ball and just salt it away and kick a field goal, they probably win. But my gosh, Tua really yesterday in the second half. I mean, one of the worst second half performances, I think, from any quarterback in the NFL this year.
He was absolutely brutal. And then his left, that last interception that he threw on the second and eight where he was, you know, just didn't read the zone coverage. I mean,
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Look, I've been kind of relatively pro Tua compared to the market, but I think pretty much that fourth quarter showed why you don't really want to be giving that dude, you know, the $180 million contract.
Yeah, going to be hard to swallow for Miami to do it. I mean, he may be a very good quarterback for a long time in the NFL, but you know, that sort of stuff just doesn't really fly. And naturally, we'll hear from the Dolphins today on what they were thinking. But Miami, a few weeks ago, you know, one of the sleeper picks, Davis, to win the Super Bowl. Now you wouldn't put money on them, for sure. All right, fantasy standouts coming up next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Lots of games in the NFL, of course, on Saturday and then three on Sunday. So given that Davis and I were not here Saturday or Sunday, we're back here with you today going over the fantasy standouts from the semifinal playoff week in fantasy football. We'll start off with the quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, got to be one of his best games of the season for sure against the Philadelphia Eagles. He threw for 347 passing yards, also 41 rushing yards, which we haven't seen from him in a while. Three touchdowns, one interception. Joe Burrow keeps trucking along. He had 375, also three touchdowns and two picks. Jared Goff, you know, had to throw a lot in a losing effort. He had 355 and three touchdowns in that loss to Carolina. Kirk Cousins led Minnesota to that win late to almost 300 yards and three touchdowns. And then, hey, Gardner Minshew played fantastic, to be honest, or as good as he possibly you could expect against Dallas. He threw for 355 yards, also three touchdowns and two interceptions, and had Miles Sanders not fumbled. I don't know. I think Minshew may have led Philadelphia to a win, Davis, over Dallas in that game. And, you know, I suppose Minshew was probably auditioning for another job next year, but Philly's really lucky to have him as a backup quarterback. I think that our conversation last week, is he a top three backup quarterback in the NFL? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, that at least I thought that watching that.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, he got lucky on a couple, you know, a couple near picks that ended up going his way. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy you can bring off the bench and he doesn't kill you. You know, it's not like a Nathan Peterman, Chad Henne style situation. And by the way, I mean, the number of teams that could sign him next year, Jets, Titans, Colts, Texans, Commanders, Panthers, Saints, Falcons, 49ers, all those teams are for sure going to need a quarterback. And there are many more than that who are maybe going to be in the market. So Dak, I mean, absolutely 100% must win game. You cannot lose that game as the Dallas Cowboys. You need it for tiebreaker. You need it for just to even be possible to get the one seed. The one seed is like one of the biggest advantages in sports, you know, just not having to play a game that you could lose in the playoffs, so big. And by the way, Lane Johnson, the star left tackle for the Eagles, got injured in that game. He's not going to play for the rest of the regular season. So the Eagles, I mean, it's not looking tremendous for them. Joe Burrow started that game phenomenally against New England. I believe they did not score a point in the second half of that game against the Patriots. So not great there. And one of the games of the year coming up here between the Bills and the Bengals, going to be absolutely unbelievable. Kirk continuing this hot run. Yeah, I mean, Kirk, the Vikings, man, they got alligator blood. They just refuse to lose. They're the team of destiny this year.
Yeah, they play every close game in the book and somehow end up winning the majority of them, almost all of them this year. Unlike last year where they lost all of those games. All right, now to running back, the league winner in 2022, no question, it is Cam Akers after that performance yesterday. If you were lucky enough to have him and used him yesterday in that game, you got over 100 rushing yards, caught a couple of balls as well, and three touchdowns for Cam Akers. 40-point day for a guy that we all thought was going to do this in the NFL. Saquon Barkley caps off a nice season. He had 84 rushing yards, another eight receptions, 49 yards, and a touchdown. Leonard Fournette last night was Mr. Dump-Off. Nine receptions, 90 yards for Leonard Fournette. 18 points there, another seven on the rushing yards. James Conner also scored a touchdown last night, also caught seven balls, 41 yards. Arizona just basically has nothing else going on. And Deonta Foreman definitely has entrenched himself as a potential running back starting for Carolina or somewhere else next year. The Carolina Panthers rushed for over 300 yards, Davis, against the Detroit Lions. And Steve Wilks has them playing better than Matt Rhule. Didn't have that one either at the beginning of the season.
I mean, that was insane, right? Watching them run for all of those yards. It was a franchise record for rushing yards in a game, franchise record for total yards in a game. And the Lions just really crushed their win equity for the playoffs with that game. They really needed to win that game. I think they went down to sub 20% to make the playoffs now via the 538 predictions. But you're so right, Craig, about Cam Akers. I mean, he is the story of the season. And Josh Jacobs, you know, weird way, Josh Jacobs was the guy you needed to get to the playoffs, but he's been super quiet in the fantasy football playoffs. So in a way, you would have been better off drafting Cam Akers than sitting there stashing him on your bench for the entire year instead of pulling in Josh Jacobs, which is so bizarre. And Barkley, you know, did his thing. The Fournette Leonard White thing, or not Leonard White, Rashad White, they were alternating drives. So new drive, Fournette comes in, next drive. But it just so happened that all the drives that Fournette were in lasted longer. Like the Rashad White ones just kept going three and out, which is just a weird little anomaly.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose there's probably Davis right now, you know, two or three running backs, you know, Christian McCaffrey for sure. And, you know, I'm sure Dalvin Cook, there's probably two or three going into next week if you're in the championship that you'd rather have over Cam Akers. But Davis, he's right there, man. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I really can't think of that many players after a while. And he looked great, by the way, against a good Denver defense. Now, they may have quit a little bit, I think, once they knew they were out of it. But, I don't know. I have him on my team. I'm feeling great going into next week. I didn't think that would say that. All right, at receiver, CeeDee Lamb, monster game on Saturday against the Philadelphia Eagles. He had 10 receptions for 120 yards and two touchdowns. He has really come on late in the year. Devontae Smith also looks fantastic, jumping up, grabbing everything thrown his way. 8 for 113, also two touchdowns. Justin Jefferson just keeps plugging along. He'll be the number one or number two pick in fantasy football next year for sure. 12 for 133 and a score. T. Higgins, 8 for 128 and one touchdown. And Jaylen Waddle, virtually unstoppable. Davis, you know, Tua throws him the ball. He just runs really fast. It's like they have these two guys who, with him and Hill, that it looked like yesterday the game plan for Green Bay was like, we're not going to let Hill beat us. So therefore, Jaylen Waddle was the guy, and you can't let him beat you either. He had 143 and a touchdown, obviously one very long touchdown at the beginning of the game yesterday.
And that touchdown was like so much of what Jaylen Waddle did at Alabama and that we haven't seen a ton of from him in the NFL. Like, Waddle's been used in a very different way than I've expected. Obviously, I think he is like unbelievably good, and it'll be really interesting to see in fantasy drafts next year who goes first between Tyreek and Waddle. That'll be a little bit of a debate. Justin Jefferson is now on pace to set the all-time NFL receiving yardage record. Gonna beat Calvin Johnson, and I think he could get to 2,000 yards. Because again, the way the NFC is setting up, like in the AFC, some teams may not need to play. The Titans and the Jaguars don't really need to play this Week 17 game. But in the NFC, every game is going to matter. So that's fairly interesting. And then, you know what? Devonta Smith, so much has been made of this addition of A.J. Brown to the Eagles passing game. And it should be. I mean, the Titans, what idiots they are letting A.J. Brown go for one first-round pick. And he looks great. But Devonta Smith, I mean, like, unbelievable. I mean, 1,100 yards, seven touchdowns, playing with AJ Brown. Like, this guy is phenomenal, and I think he just gets overlooked because so much of it's about Hurts, and AJ Brown had the three touchdown game and all that stuff. But Smith is like really incredible.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Davis, is that I mean, the Eagles are just a very aggressive team. They're just unlike some others. They're not willing to let their first round picks and guys they take like just waste for 5 years. They're not going to do that. So they, you know, they redraft Devonta Smith. They go get A.J. Brown. They'll recycle if they have to again. And these other teams, Davis, what do? They just roll the same guys out there. We want to make sure our first-round pick works. Jalen Reagor, you know, like, they got rid of him. A lot of teams, they just hang on to these guys way too long as if, like, it's going to cost them their job or something. But, all right, a tight end week without Travis Kelce. How about that? First time, I think, all season. We have T.J. Hockenson leading the way yesterday. He had 13 for 109 and two touchdowns. George Kittle has really come on with Purdy at quarterback. He's had 6 for 120 and two scores yesterday. Tyler Higbee was unstoppable against Denver yesterday. How about Shane Zylstra? Three touchdowns. Anybody play him in DFS? You probably won money. And Evan Engram going back to Thursday night had over 107 receptions.
Tyler Higbee, fantasy football hero, right?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
He's got four touchdowns in the fantasy football playoffs. No one had that on their bingo card.
No, definitely not. Big week for tight ends. How about that yesterday and Saturday too? Okay, we'll take a quick time out. When we come back next, it's time to preview Monday Night Football. Thrive Fantasy, we're going to help you out, give you a promo code, give you 100% deposit bonus for your whole life.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you haven't already downloaded the Thrive Fantasy app, download it right now because Monday Night Football is coming fast tonight. It's the Colts and Chargers. And here at Sports Grid, we got a special promotion to give you today, which is basically a 100% deposit bonus of up to $250 very simply by using our promo code, which I'm going to give to you right now. It's Sports Grid. So just use our promo code and deposit any amount of money you like. And up to $250, they're going to match it with a 100% deposit bonus. It's a fun way to play fantasy. It's picking props. And to make it a lot easier for you, we're also going to tell you what to pick tonight. It's time for the Thrive Five. All right, Davis, we're in a position tonight where the Chargers have been here before, Davis. You know how it goes, right? They've been doing this for 10 years. Chargers on the verge of winning. Chargers on the verge. All they need to do tonight is win to make the playoffs. They're going against the Colts, the downtrodden Colts. They can't win a game. Are you following that street? Are you following Chargers Street tonight into Indianapolis, into what seems like some doom and gloom? I don't know. I have a bad feeling about the Chargers tonight, I got to be honest.
So here's the thing. It may not be your same old Chargers because the Chargers needed a couple different things to happen for them this weekend to make this a win and you have a clinched playoff spot done tonight. And they got both of those things. I think it was a Steelers win and a Titans loss, if I remember correctly, were the two things there. No, they needed a Dolphins loss yesterday for to have this being a clinching game here in week 16. So that kind of gives me the opposite vibes. That gives me the vibes like maybe the universe is setting the Chargers up. You know, they get the happiness now and then their heartbreak comes when they have to go play an Arrowhead in the playoffs or whatever and they get dismantled by the Chiefs. So I think the Chargers, honestly, I just think the Colts are so bad. And Nick Foles, by the way, we have this memory of him of being a Super Bowl winner. His last 5 years of playing professional football, he's basically been the worst guy on the field. Whenever he's played, he has been so bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust it tonight. A little worried about this game for the Chargers. I gotta be honest with you. I think the Colts show up tonight. But let's look at some props here that we're going to review and see how that factors into the outcome. We're going to take a look at two different Justin Herbert props. One will be his total amount of passing yards. The other will be his total completions, as you can see there. Mike Williams' total yards. Zach Moss, who you may not know, is actually on the Colts right now. 70.5 total yards. And then we'll do Paris Campbell at the end, which is a very low total there. 39.5 receiving yards. All right, so let's start off with Justin Herbert, Davis. In order for the Chargers to win or even come close, I think he's got to throw for 300 tonight. So to basically go over this, you only get 95 points. The under is 105. What does your data say going into tonight's game? Which way do you go?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, this team has just not been that effective running the ball. And I do think the over on his yards will probably be pretty popular. 95 points. People like Justin Herbert. It seems pretty low. He's been over 285 for each of his last three games. They have been playing this pretty, pass heavy attack. You know, Keenan Allen has been pretty involved. So I don't like to start out with, the mega popular ones, but I do think that it just feels like, I mean, his median for his career passing yards per game is higher than this. So I'm going to take the over here.
Okay, so that's the first of five props. Again, we're going to give you five here on Thrive Fantasy, the Thrive 5. Justin Herbert's over on his passing yards. We'll take a look at Herbert's completions, and then Mike Williams, Zach Moss, Paris Campbell to round it out. All right, so the second of five will be the total amount of completions for Justin Herbert. As you can see over on Thrive, the total is 27.5 total completions. And if you go over that, Davis, you get 100 points. If you go under, which is where the lean is, you would get 90 points tonight. Which way do you go?
Yeah, so this is a bit of a weird one because, you know, most of the time we want to be correlating our selections, right? So if we have the over on the passing yards, we'd want to take the over on the completions. But I like the under here because the vibe I'm getting from this game, and Craig disagrees with me. Craig thinks that we could be in for some Nick Foles Monday Night Magic. But I think we are going to see the Colts play horrible. No Jonathan Taylor, down to their third quarterback, like yada, yada. So I think he gets the passing yards, but I basically just think they're going to be done throwing by the fourth quarter. And also another thing for completions is Austin Eckler's passing game role has really shrunk the last month of the season. He went from 23% of the team's targets down to 15%. So it's just a little bit less easy completion. So I think he probably ends up in like the 23-24 range. So I'm taking the under on 27.5 completions. That's just a really high number. I mean, you can throw for 300 yards with 23 sure. completions, no problem.
All right, so there you go. We have two of Herbert's props now in the books, over on the total yards and under on the total completions. Also, we have we're going to take a look at Mike Williams, Zach Moss, and Paris Campbell to round out the Thrive 5. So the next one is Mike Williams, the wide receiver on the Los Angeles Chargers, and his total tonight, Davis, is 63.5 receiving yards. And if we know anything about Mike Williams, Davis, it's this. If he's healthy, and if he's on the field, and if he catches one long pass from Justin Herbert, he's going to smash this number tonight. I mean, that's basically Mike Williams' deal. Got to be on the field, got to be healthy, and he needs one long one. And if those three things happen, I think he eats up on this number tonight.
Yep, Craig. I mean, you pretty much read my mind. Mike Williams last week, 63 total snaps, 89% of the offensive snaps, 8 targets, 4 receptions, 67 yards. He has more games this year with over 80 yards than games with fewer. If you include games that he finishes, if you don't include the two games where he left with ankle injuries. So Mike Williams, and also I think this correlates with our other two selections. I think it correlates with our over on the passing yards and the under on completions because of exactly what Craig just said. Mike Williams is not getting there on 8 receptions for 94 yards. He's getting there 4 receptions, 115 yards, and a touchdown. He's going to catch a bomb, you know, make some guy miss. Long 60-yard touchdown, 70-yard touchdown. You are pretty much clear on all three of the wagers that we have put forward so far. So I like the over for Mike Williams. I think this seems like, I don't know, 4 or 5 yards too low on Thrive tonight. Now, I do think this will probably be a pretty popular one. So you need to be thinking about that, when creating your lineups. Like, I think an interesting construction strategy on Thrive is to take all of the Mike Williams overs and all the Keenan Allen unders to correlate your selections that way a little bit. But I'm on the over for Mike Williams.
All right, so there you go. Mike Williams on the over tonight. I believe he's gone over this number pretty much, more than half the time that he's played this year, so that makes sense. Herbert on the over with his yards, Herbert on the under with the completions, and then we got Mike Williams on the over amount of receiving yards. As you see there, 63.5. Next one to tackle is Zach Moss, who's on the Indianapolis Colts now. If you have been hibernating the last couple of weeks, you may not know that. And Jonathan Taylor's out for the year. So Moss also has caught some balls out of the backfield recently, pushing his total on Thrive to 70.5. The over is 105. The under is 95. And of all the ones that we're going to review here, Davis, this one is most perplexing to me. I understand he's had a couple of big games, but boy, this feels like a really high number at 70.5. Feels like a lot has to go right for him to get this, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably what the market is telling us here is that the market anticipates that Zach Moss is going to be the starting running back on the team, and that Deion Jackson is mostly going to be relegated to third downs, and also that the Colts are going to be somewhat competitive. And I think all of those things are pretty fraught. Like, I think Deion Jackson could very easily be ahead of him. They could play Jordan Wilkins, right? Jordan Wilkins has been on this team's practice squad, you know, for as long as I can remember, and he got a couple touches in the most recent game. This to me was the easiest under on the board. Now, again, I do think it'll be fairly popular. We are getting, 95 points on the under, but I would imagine most projections are going to have him more in like the 55 to 60 total yards range. I just think we got to take the under here. No disrespect, Zach Moss, but I think our friends at Thrive were a little bit optimistic on this line.
All right. So Moss, I mean, maybe playing for the future to see what he can do too. I guess that's one way you could play that if you wanted to play the over. Okay. So now let's go through the first four. So we got 4 out of 5 picked here. Over on Herbert and on his yards, under on their completions, over on Williams on the total receiving yards. And then Moss, this is total yards between rushing and receiving under 70.5. And the final one is Paris Campbell. Now, this one is not going to be close one way or the other. Well, I think we know that. 39.5 receiving yards. So, Davis, either he is going to have 150 tonight or he's going to have 10. I don't think that the range of outcomes show close to this number, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got clear under here. I mean, again, I just think that, one, Alec Pierce is better than him. Two, the role that Paris Campbell had that we were kind of starting him in fantasy, I mean, he's been pretty bad for a month of the season now. So I'm going the under here. I just am not anticipating Nick Foles playing well. I think if the Colts win, it's because the Chargers just play really bad and turn the ball over. Picks. I mean, we've all seen the Chargers blow this game 100 times.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So now if you're watching us on a mobile device, here's what you do. Just screenshot the Thrive 5 right here. We're going to show you all 5 picks. Plug them in tonight. Again, use promo code SportsGrid. We will match your deposit bonus. Put in $50, they'll match it $50. You put in $100, they'll match it at $100. You put in $200, they'll match it at $200. And you could just plug these picks right in tonight and help you make money over on Thrive Fantasy. Again, our promo code is SportsGrid, all one word, SportsGrid. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. Come back with more preview of Monday Night Football as we continue on here at the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Each and every Monday throughout the season, we've been joined by Andrew Erickson of Fantasy Pros. Andrew joins us now to go over the slate on Monday Night Football. We'll also talk about some of the results yesterday as well. Hey, Andrew, great to have you back. Happy holidays. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, happy holidays to you guys as well. Let's talk some Monday Night Football.
All right, so let's get right down to it. The Los Angeles Chargers are on the doorstep of the postseason. All they need to do is go tonight and win in Indianapolis. It seems like, I guess, an easy task. I don't know. The NFL's been strange. I thought the Bucs would have an easy task last night against Arizona. That did not work out that way. Let's take a look at the slate tonight, and that'll give us an idea as to which way you're leaning on this game. But Austin Eckler is the high man in terms of pricing tonight over on DraftKings, and you could use him tonight for $16,500, followed by Justin Herbert, $15,500. As you notice, it is Keenan Allen at $14,700. Lots of Chargers here, Andrew. Mike Williams, 14-1, and then Nick Foles at 13-5, Michael Pittman Jr. at 12,300. So the Colts are now going with their third quarterback this year. Nick Foles will start tonight. What do you anticipate happening, and how do you set the lineup based on that?
Yeah, I think for me, I want to just overload with Chargers players. I know that they disappointed last week, as they tend to do, just not living up to expectations that you really want them. But we have seen when Justin Herbert is upright and he has his top two wide receivers with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, that he can put up really big numbers. So I think that overloading, whether it's a Keenan Allen and your captain with Justin Herbert, maybe fading Austin Eckler a little bit in terms of favoring the Chargers passing game without Eckler with Justin Herbert and some of these receivers, because the Colts, you know, on paper have been very good against wide receivers. Maybe that makes Eckler more popular because the Colts have not been as good against the running back position. So kind of fading some of the ownership on Eckler for the Chargers pass catchers, most notably with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. But also you can sprinkle in guys like a Josh Palmer, who, you know, the Chargers offense throws enough where you can see some of these ancillary pieces really pop off. You know, Donald Parham, for example, he's dirt cheap. Like, he opens up a lot of space for your roster to fill up with a lot of Chargers guys. And then trying to figure out between the Zach Moss or Deion Jackson, well, in a negative game script, you'd probably assume that we would see more of Deion Jackson versus Zach Moss. So I think they're trying to just figure out which Colt you want to bring it back with. We're really focusing more on the Chargers passing game.
I think Andrew mostly outlined the things you need to win tonight. I would say probably the keys to the slate are figuring out your exposures between Keenan Allen and Mike Williams appropriately. I'll be heavier on Mike Williams because he's always a little bit less owned than Allen is, particularly in the captain, and always, I think, has probably like 5 to 10% more of a ceiling just based on the long touchdown stuff. Also, the Colts running back stuff. I mean, if Zach Moss is going to be playing some passing downs, he's a smash. Or conversely, if Deion Jackson is going to be playing some of the early downs and some of the goal line stuff. And honestly, I mean, none of that could matter, right? Because Nick Foles, I believe, is 1-12 in starts since he left Philadelphia in 2018. It was one win with the Chicago Bears. I mean, he truly is one of the worst quarterbacks on a roster in the NFL. So maybe it doesn't matter. That being said, Kylan Granson is doubtful for this game. So we have the Mo Alley Cox, Jelani Woods thing that we have to deal with. Both of them on DraftKings are priced at $2,800. Would imagine that one or both of them has a decent chance at making it in the optimal, you know, 4 receptions, 34 yards, and a touchdown. Probably gets them in at that price. Just weird to see guys priced the exact same. You don't see that often on DraftKings. I'll throw my hat in the ring for Jelani Woods as a differential play tonight.
All right, so there you go. Set your lineup over on DraftKings. By the way, check out fantasypros.com. All kinds of fantasy content helping you make money in daily fantasy and season long, which, by the way, is coming to an end, Andrew. We've got championship week here on deck. Aaron Rodgers yesterday against the Miami Dolphins. You know, his numbers, I mean, let's be honest, they weren't fantastic because basically the Dolphins were just throwing the ball to the other team for a lot of part of the second half. You know, Rodgers actually was running the ball quite a bit yesterday, which was surprising. He even had a run called back. He did have 18 rushing yards yesterday, one touchdown, one interception. And I think from a drama point of view and an interest point of view, the NFL is probably like, it would be nice to get the Packers in the playoffs, maybe one game, maybe Aaron Rodgers. They're still going to have to win their last two games, but they got off to the right start yesterday by beating Miami on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I mean, it all kind of worked out for them. Everything that needed to happen on Saturday worked out for them. All the teams that they needed to have lost. They came away with the victory against the Dolphins, so that was all good for them. I guess for Rodgers moving forward from, like, a fantasy perspective, I guess, you know, it's a good matchup in Week 17 against the Minnesota Vikings on paper. Vikings have been a team that you can definitely throw on. But my big concern is Christian Watson going to be available for Rodgers? Like, just we've seen his fantasy games, even in this game here, Christian Watson didn't play in the second half and Rodgers' passing numbers were not nearly as good. You know, Christian Watson had 8 targets in the first half alone, and all of Rodgers' spike fantasy games this year have come when Christian Watson's had his spike games as well. So Rodgers has not had 20 fantasy points at home this year. Lambeau's going to be cold. So I just don't see it as an environment where you're going to see a lot of offense, and it's just going to be more AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones against the Vikings defense that can be beat both, you know, on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be pretty hard up to want to start Aaron Rodgers in any kind of fantasy format. I would be, you know, if you could sell him in your dynasty leagues for anything, second round rookie picks, like, he is just not really that good anymore. I mean, the whole Packers offense is dedicated on these shot plays, right? So it's like run, play action, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. You know, I hope one of you guys are wide open 70 yards down the field. If you're not, then I guess we're going to go ahead and end up punting. And the defense was really good yesterday, The defense brought them back into that game against the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins just second half, it looked like, I don't know, it looked like a Superman around Kryptonite or something. Like, they just, it was really, really bad all around. And I think that what the Packers do this offseason is, like, one of the most interesting things in the NFL, because they owe Aaron Rodgers, like, I think $48 million next year, but he's playing at, like, a Gardner Minshew level. Like, you can't win the Super Bowl with this team playing that way. So I'm just very curious to see what they do.
All right, let's move over to the Carolina Panthers, who have played very well under Steve Wilkes. And ironically, they've played their best football, maybe, I would say, Andrew, since the beginning of 2021, when Sam Darnold was the quarterback there. Darnold would just run, do very little, throw the ball to DJ Moore. They'd hand the ball off to McCaffrey. Remember, Carolina got off to that good start, and then things went south. This year, Darnold did not get the chance. Now he is again, and he's made the most of DJ Moore. DJ Moore is back all of a sudden for the fantasy playoffs. He had 5 receptions yesterday for 83 yards. He had a lot of targets. He had 8 rushing yards and 1 score. I mean, I guess the secret sauce is Sam Darnold at quarterback for Carolina, because it's just, he's like a complete lock with Moore at this point.
Yeah, I mean, competent quarterback play will do a lot for a wide receiver of DJ Moore's skill and talent level. I mean, 29% target share since Sam Darnold took over, which is top 10. 57% air yard share, which ranks first in the NFL since week 12. So, yeah, I mean, DJ Moore is getting all of the volume you could ask for in the Carolina Panthers offense, which, when they don't run the ball, it's basically, all right, let's throw the ball to DJ Moore. And I think the biggest thing with Moore's production is he has 3 receiving touchdowns since week 12. Like, since Sam Darnold took over as quarterback. And that's the thing with DJ Moore that fantasy managers have just been hoping for this entire time since DJ Moore's been in the NFL. Is like, can this guy finally score some touchdowns? So he actually has a career high in touchdowns this season. He has 3 from Sam Darnold, like I mentioned. So, yeah, you got to keep rolling with DJ Moore here. It's a good matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that they may not be able to run the ball super effectively on. And if they have to throw, we know where it's going.
Yeah, DJ Moore, someone that internet nerds like myself have loved for a long time. We've been waiting for the breakout season. 6 touchdowns, the most he's ever had in a career, although 814 yards as of right now, actually pacing to be a career low, which you would be pretty surprised by. Although, I mean, there's been some pretty fallow periods for the Panthers offense. So many different guys have started at quarterback for them. I mean, this will never happen, but I would really love for the Panthers to be one of these teams that makes a giant offseason splash. You know, they get one of these marquee quarterbacks. Honestly, even Derek Carr in a Carolina Panthers uniform, I'm taking DJ Moore round 2 next year, and I'm going to get paid for it. You know, the same way the Devontae Adams drafters got paid this year. It'll probably never happen, but, what can you do? And unfortunately, the Week 17 matchup for, as Andrew mentioned, I mean, that week 17 matchup for the Panthers, not great against the Buccaneers, who, like, well, although Greg Dortch did have like a career game last night, so maybe he just puts on his best Greg Dortch impression and goes 8 for 80 with a touchdown next week.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, the Bucs defense has been carrying them in these games. They just can't score. All right, finally, a new name has been popping up now for the Bengals for a couple of weeks here in terms of target share. And that is Trenton Irwin, who yesterday got 4 targets, 3 receptions, 45 yards, and a touchdown. And dare I say, Andrew, it looks like the Bengals now have 4 receiving options. In fact, Irwin even sometimes getting more looks than Tyler Boyd, which I didn't anticipate.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely emerging as someone that Joe Burrow is looking for in the red zone. Like, he almost caught another touchdown, like, was basically on a very similar play to one of his first touchdowns that he had caught earlier in the game against the Patriots. Now, I think the issue is you're seeing Trent Irwin now kind of eat into Tyler Boyd's snaps. Like, Tyler Boyd played a season low 51% of the snaps. He only ran a route on 64% of Joe Burrow's dropbacks. So we're really seeing T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase really operate as the clear-cut 1 and 2. And then you're kind of seeing a mix of guys behind them, whether it's Mitchell Wilcox, who we talked about last week. You know, Hayden Hurst has been missing a couple games. So it's really like these guys are popping off randomly. I don't know if you can really rely on that, because we're not really seeing one of them take over. Okay, he has the number 3 role. He's seeing consistent targets. It's really more random. It's more like pick your poison, and especially with the Patriots, who always try to take away your best weapon. I mean, I can't imagine that Belichick tried to game plan like, hey, we got to set this Trenton Irwin guy. I think that's why he was able to benefit from softer coverages with more attention paid to Ja'Marr Chase and to T. Higgins. Not that they could really stop either of those guys either, but I think that did help Trenton Irwin ultimately, pop off a big game here with some scores.
Yeah, it's like absolutely insane though to see the Trent Irwin production right now. I mean, his four receiving touchdowns mean he only has one less than Boyd, three less than Higgins. Now, granted, he's done it on 219 receiving yards. I mean, he's been on the team for 3 years, so this is kind of one of those things where it's like they like having him in the building. He plays on special teams. He never complains. You know, probably always there to be like, oh, if one of the backup quarterbacks wants to work on something, he'll probably sit there with him and catch passes and do whatever. But I don't know, maybe a guy to like throw on the back end of your bench in a deep dynasty league or something. But for the time being, he's just going to end up being one of these annoying guys that you're like, Trent Irwin, I needed T. Higgins. I needed Jamar Chase. I needed Hayden Hurst. I needed Joe Mixon. Why is Trent Irwin doing this to me? You know, there's always these great teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, like all these great offenses, they always have a guy, right? The Bills guy is Quentin Morris. The Chiefs guy is Noah Gray. Like, it's just, it ends up being so annoying, and that is who Trent Irwin is right now.
Yeah, Zylstra, 3 touchdowns yesterday. I'd like to use him under annoying too, I would say as well. All right, Andrew, good luck in your season-long championship rounds. I don't know how many teams you got left, but good luck. I only have one. I'm down to one. That's it. Next week, I wish you all the best. And again, we'll come back next week and we will wrap up our season long of shows for the fantasy football season and see what we could expect for the future. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Andrew Erickson. Follow him, of course, on social media, on Twitter, and all of his work over at fantasypros.com. Coming up next, it's time for Davis and I to wrap up the show with the Sports Grid 60. We've got the early line coming up at noon Eastern, and I'm back with you on a Christmas edition day of Newswire at 2 o'clock Eastern. So hope to see you then as well. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Make sure, of course, you're following us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Great giveaways, fun times here for the holidays, which officially got underway this past week. Let's see what Davis has to say about those and some, maybe something else. Who knows? Here's today's Sports Grid 60.
Well, I gotta say, having the first ever full slate of games on Christmas Eve, 3 games on Christmas Day, a Thursday night game, a Monday night game, it was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot to try and do family time and professionally track all of these football games. It maybe would have helped if those games on Saturday, people thought it was going to be bad, Craig, and it was. Oh. I mean, watching some of these games outside, it was like, it felt nonsensical. Like, can we not? I don't know. It just feels like if the NFL is worth so much money, we maybe don't need to be having these games be played in like negative 35-degree weather. But so I hope the schedule just lands a little bit more favorably for us next year.
Well, it does not. All the games will be played next Sunday, Davis, on Christmas Eve. next Sunday, a year from now. A lot of the focus, though, for everyone this week, no disrespect to the NFL, by the way, but we got to focus on some college football here. I mean, come on. It's like the NFL has just absorbed all of this college football bowl madness. Now, I understand there's been 10 bowl games played, still a lot to go. But this is the week. We got all the big bowl games. We got the college football semifinal games. We got New Year's Eve. We got New Year's. And so for me, that's what I am most interested in this week. It's like, wait, I almost forgot. When was the last time that like Ohio State even played a college football game? It's been like a month and a half because they didn't play for the Big Ten Championship. So I am looking forward to that this week. And, of course, we'll be breaking it down for you. Again, thanks to our producers. Thanks, of course, to Andrew Erickson, all the people who watched the show today, our great graphics department, from my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish, Early Line. Coming up next, I'll be back with you again, 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. Hope you all have a great Monday and have a great holiday as well. See you.